Are you looking for a new devotional resource in 2019? The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for February is Day by Day in Genesis, 365 Devotional Readings by Martin Luther. Browse before you buy at issuesetc.org or call Concordia Publishing House, 1-800-325-3040. The Issues Etc. Book of the Month, Day by Day in Genesis, 365 Devotional Readings by Martin Luther.
Number one, breathe. If you don't, you'll suffocate. Number two, you have a soul. Be careful with it. Number three, don't be a turd. Number four, when giving a dog medicine, put the medicine in a little piece of hamburger, they won't even know they're eating medicine. Number five, doesn't matter what it is, earn it. Number six, God is real. God loves you. God wants the best for you. Number eight, learn to pray. And finally, number nine, nobody is perfect. People are going to tell you you're perfect just the way you are. You're not. You are imperfect. You always will be, but there is a powerful force that designed you that way. And if you're willing to accept that, you will have grace. And grace is a gift. And like the freedom that we enjoy in this country, that grace was paid for with somebody else's blood. Do not forget it. Don't take it for granted.
That's a clip from actor Chris Pratt's acceptance speech at the 2018 MTV Awards. He is among a small but very famous and very popular group of celebrities who are openly, without apology, Christian. They say they are Christians, among them Justin Bieber and others. What about their pastors? There's a recent Vox story called The Rise of the Star-Studded Instagram-Friendly Evangelical Church, naming Chris Pratt, Justin Bieber, and other cool Christian celebrities. We're going to be talking about pastors to the celebrities on This Week in Pop Christianity. Joining us to do so on this Friday afternoon, Pastor Chris Roseborough, pastor of Kongsvinger Lutheran Church in Oslo, Minnesota, and host of the daily internet talk show called Fighting for the Faith. Chris, welcome back.
Thanks for having me back, Todd.
Most people expect their Hollywood celebrities to espouse hedonism, Eastern mysticism, sometimes Scientology. They just find it refreshing when a celebrity is openly Christian. What's your pastoral response?
I think it's important for us to recognize that, number one, celebrities are human beings just like you and I, and that there is a spectrum of belief within Hollywood, just like there is a spectrum of belief within our country, within our culture. And so I would say in the past, you know, there are certain people who come to mind who were overtly Christian and they were celebrities. And there's a new crop of them coming up and they're overtly Christian. And we need to remember that they're just as human and sinful and prone to being deceived and deceiving as any of us are. And so, but it is refreshing when you have somebody who you may not be very well theologically trained, at least doing and making an attempt to proclaim in one way or another, you know, sin and the forgiveness won in Christ. Pratt's statements were woefully short of the mark as far as biblical accuracy, but I think it's important for us to recognize that he is a layman, and probably not the best catechized layman, but he is excited about his faith, and he has some concept of what Christ has done for him and is willing to proclaim that, even in venues that one would assume are not friendly to that message.
The article, the Vox article, kind of talked about some of these celebrities, their stories, their affiliations within the evangelical kind of pop, as we call it, pop Christianity, evangelicalism. But it concluded by kind of saying, well, you know, these churches may look cool, but that's just about it. They're pretty much traditional churches that just happen to dress a little cooler than the rest of us. Do you agree with that conclusion?
To some degree, I would say that the author is correct. And at the same time, I think there's some nuance that you can discuss here. The churches that were mentioned in the Vox article, written by Laura Turner, these would be VU Church, where Rich Wilkerson Jr. is a vision casting leader. You think of Hillsong, especially Hillsong New York with Carl Lentz. You think of Church Home, and then the other one, Zoe with Veach, Chad Veach. These are like the Hollywood up and coming celebrity type churches. And these are churches that get hammered oftentimes when they make statements that sound very squishy in relation to particular sins, especially homosexuality and others, and them getting hammered has forced them to at least be a little bit more specific. But you're going to note that over and again, these churches value their ability to draw a wide audience and to be perceived as relevant, up to date, and able to attract young people. And so when it comes to thorny issues like homosexuality, transgenderism, and other things like this, those are messages that don't really ever get covered with any kind of specificity in their preaching.
So are you going to find kind of a common vein, something similar in the teachings at churches attended by the Kim Kardashians, Kanye West, Selena Gomez, Justin Bieber, or Chris Pratt?
Yes, yes. In fact, I think the best way to put this is, I've been doing this long enough that we've seen a generational changing of the guard. I remember when I would first come on Issues, Etc., we were talking about Willow Creek and Saddleback. We were talking about Bill Hybels and Rick Warren. And then a new crowd came up. We were talking about men like Perry Noble and Mark Driscoll. And there's been a change of guard. And so you got Judah Smith and Rich Wilkerson and Chad Veach and Carl Lentz. These are the new crop, but it's all the same root. The same root is the seeker-driven, purpose-driven model of church as well as message. And so what we're dealing with here is a church movement that is specifically about trying to get people to make decisions for Jesus because we want to take care of eternity. And once we've crossed the finish line of faith, this is how they talk, we need to get you busy figuring out what God's purpose or destiny is for you in this lifetime. And the messages all seem to revolve around removing things that are getting in the way and that are impediments for you having your maximum potential met as far as what God designed you for and the purpose that you're supposed to fulfill in this lifetime.
You've brought some examples of that. Who are we going to hear from and what are we going to hear?
So we're going to listen to Rich Wilkerson. Rich Wilkerson, very famous pastor. He presided at was one of the Kardashian weddings. And this is one of these guys that is in this crowd. And I follow him and regularly critique some of his sermons on my podcast. And we're going to be listening to four sound bites from his recently concluded sermon series on the Book of Esther. And our first soundbite, we're going to actually hear him read out a part of the Book of Esther. And immediately it's going to sound like he's completely changed the subject to something that seems really relevant and is topical for today. And I'll tell you after we've listened to it who I've heard this exact message from.
Esther chapter 4, verse 12. Are you ready? So the Bible says, Esther chapter 4, verse 12. It says, when Esther's words were reported to Mordecai, he sent back this answer. Do not think that because you are in the king's house, you alone of all the Jews will escape. For if you remain silent at this time, relief and deliverance for the Jews will arise from another place. But you and your father's family will perish. And who knows that you have come to your royal position for such a time as this. Tonight, I want to preach to you in part two of our collection on the Book of Esther. I want to preach to you from the subject, timing is everything. Timing is everything. Look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, timing is everything. All right, look at your other neighbor and say, yo, other neighbor. Timing is everything. This is the truth that I want to get into your heart tonight. I think in a lot of ways, the Apple Watch is a really good illustration for what people look like in 2019, because in 2019, we are moving at a pace like we have never moved at before. I mean, humanity is moving fast and going quick and doing so many different things. And a lot of us, we actually think that we're as powerful as the Apple Watch. We think that we can multitask just like the Apple Watch. But truth be told, every human being is actually unable to multitask. We can only do one thing at a time. Therefore, in 2019, time still is our most valuable commodity. Time is one of these interesting things because regardless of where you come from and regardless of who you are, regardless of how much money you have, regardless of the family you were born into, regardless of your education, everybody on the planet gets the same 24 hours a day. And contrary to popular belief, you cannot buy time, you cannot borrow time, and you certainly can't make time. You can only spend time or waste time. Oh, I'm coming at you tonight.
All right, Chris, you got about a minute to get started on that.
So you'll note then he supposedly was preaching on Esther 4. But I'm kind of at a loss because the entire emphasis of his sermon is on timing. And it's going to become a sermon about time management. Why? Well, because in Esther chapter 4, Mordecai says to Esther, "You were made for such a time as this." And so it has the word time in it. So we can just kind of springboard and talk about whatever we want. So you're going to note then that these churches are quite known for kind of proof texting, but never really getting into the heart of a text using sound biblical exegesis and hermeneutics. Instead, it's about kind of teasing out topics that would really relate to a younger crowd. And so he makes the reference to the Apple Watch and things like this. And his pop culture references are just on fleek. That's the best way I can put it. But we'll talk about it more when we come back after the top of the hour break.
Pastor Chris Roseborough is our guest. It's This Week in Pop Christianity today. Christianity for Celebrities. We're hearing some cuts from Rick Wilkerson Jr. Stay tuned.
More topics, more guests, more Jesus. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Come and experience firsthand by sitting down in classes and actually hearing professors, coming to chapel, which is always the high point of the day, to hear the Word of God and to lift our voices in song.
Issues Etc. regular guest Dr. Paul Grimm on why you should consider visiting Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana.
Spend time talking to professors. I mean, there's not a professor here who will not be willing to take time, whether it's after chapel during the coffee hour or just to come into one study and sit down and talk for a while, to answer questions, to help them to get a sense of, A, do they want to be a pastor or a deaconess, and then B, is this the right place, and well, maybe C would be the question, is now the right time for them to make that decision.
If you've contemplated the vocation of pastor or deaconess, contact Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana, 1-800-481-2155, 800-481-2155, or send an email to admission@ctsfw.edu.
There are nearly 20 million college students in the United States. 40% will stop going to church during college. 50% will never return. The Lutheran Church Missouri Synod is seeking to meet this challenge through LCMSU. Why? Because 100% of college students matter to God and to His church. College is tough. You need Jesus. We'll help. LCMSU. Check us out at lcms.org/lcmsu.
Many Lutheran pastors outside of the U.S. receive little or no seminary education. Luther Academy provides theological triage through conferences, books, and journals. Help support Luther Academy by making a tax-deductible donation at lutheracademy.com or call 260-452-2211. Serving Lutheran pastors to the ends of the earth, Luther Academy, 260-452-2211 or lutheracademy.com.
Do you long for a church that celebrates the divine service with reverence and joy, but without the unbiblical baggage imposed by a supposedly infallible hierarchy? Do you long for a church that confesses a divinely instituted office of the holy ministry for the giving of the Lord's gifts to his people and yet values and lifts high the priesthood of all believers? Welcome to the Lutheran Church. We're what you've been looking for. Find an historic, authentic church near you on the Find a Church page at issuesetc.org.
Who is your neighbor? And what does it mean to love your neighbor as yourself? This February, the Lutheran Witness is exploring what it looks like when Lutherans show God's love to neighbors in need. Highlights include one church's dramatic account of weathering Hurricane Michael and the profile of an LCMS-recognized service organization serving the poorest of the poor in rural Appalachia. Visit cph.org/witness to subscribe today. The Lutheran Witness, interpreting the contemporary world from a Lutheran Christian perspective.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. On this Friday afternoon, it's This Week in Pop Christianity. We're talking about Christianity for celebrities. Pastor Chris Roseborough, Fighting for the Faith, is our guest. Chris, before the break, we heard some introductory ideas, a little bit of the Book of Esther, and then something about timing is everything from Rich Wilkerson Jr., one of those pastors to the celebrities. You had more to say other than his pop culture references.
Right. So we'll note this as we listen to the rest of his sound bites, that his pop culture references are amazing. He does a really good job of weaving them into his sermon very seamlessly. And it just seems very comfortable, easy listening. But one of the things I said is I've heard this sermon before. In fact, I heard this exact sermon going on 10, 11 years ago, preached by Rick Warren at Saddleback Church, and I had the opportunity, Rick Warren invited me to go to a purpose-driven conference, and I had the privilege of meeting with Rick Warren privately with another pastor from the Minneapolis, Minnesota area, and the two of us had a face-to-face conversation with Rick Warren, and I specifically spoke to him about this sermon. And here's what I mean, is that Rick Warren wanted to know what my beef with him and his preaching was. What I told Rick Warren to his face was that my issue is that he doesn't preach law and gospel, and that by preaching these, you know, kind of pop, folksy, relevant, life tip kind of sermons, and this particular sermon about time management, which was what it was about, that he was overtly preaching God's law. And that anybody, you know, in the audience hearing him preach about time management would have been convicted of not properly handling time and squandering time or misusing time or not using a time management system or things like this. And as a result of that, he was going to be, whether he wanted to or not, making people feel guilty for not handling this precious commodity properly. And my point to him was, the issue is not that you haven't pointed out a real problem that exists in our world because of sin. The issue is that the solution you gave was, get a time management system and apply yourself to being a better steward of time. And rather than saying you've fallen short in using this commodity, you need to repent and trust that Jesus has bled and died for your sins of procrastination and misusing this and misusing your time for things that you shouldn't be misusing it for. And his response to me was actually quite speedy and a little bit curt. And he basically said, well, that's a very Lutheran way of looking at it. And that was pretty much the end of the topic. So here we are 11 years later, and I'm hearing this exact sermon that I heard 10, 11 years ago from Rick Warren, now in the mouth of Rich Wilkerson. And Rich has done a great job of kind of updating, modifying it, but the basic structure is the same. And he's preaching about time management. And you're going to note another thing that's happening as we listen to the remaining sound bites. There is a lot of audience reaction to statements and jokes and cultural references that Rich Wilkerson is making that seem to be a little bit contrived. And the reason why is because they are. He uses what's called a bullpen. These are volunteers who work at the church or attend the church, who sit near the front, whose whole job is to react vocally, loudly, you know, to things being said to make it sound like he's dropping pearls from heaven. And so Rich is very good at manipulating people in that sense.
So what's next from him?
All right, so now we're going to talk about the different ways in which we have to use our time. And so he's going to basically be just speaking the blunt truth about how our time is already divided up for us, starting with sleep.
I think tonight is a good night on the second Sunday of the new year for all of us to take a moment to audit where is our time going? Because wherever your time goes, your life will follow. The question tonight is where are you spending your time? Or better yet, where are you wasting your time? Is your time going to things that matter? Is your time going to the things that you're passionate about? Are you spending your time on things that will live on after you die? Is your time going towards eternal things? And tonight, to kind of simplify our complicated lives, I want to try to put your time into three categories. Up here on the stage, I have 21 blocks. Now, every one of these blocks represents 8 hours. These 21 blocks, if you multiply them by 8, it would equal 168. Every one of us get 168 hours in our week. And when you start to actually budget your time, the first category that you have to start with is you have to start with the category of the things I don't control. And the first thing that you don't control is that if you're a human being, where's all the humans at tonight? Wave your hands in the air. Okay. That made me laugh. I'm sorry. Okay, sorry. But if you're a human being, you actually have to take time to sleep. Research tells us, if you don't know, that we should all get 8 hours of sleep every night. Now, whether or not you're getting 8 hours of sleep tonight, just because it's my message, I'm going to give everyone 7 days a week 8 hours of sleep, okay? So this first column, I'm going to put 7 blocks on here because it's going to represent 56 hours. So the first 56 hours that you don't even get to argue with, that you don't even get to choose, is this category called sleep. So 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Hey! Now, sleep's an interesting thing because when I talk to people about sleep, everyone's like, no, I would sleep more, but I don't have time to sleep. I'm busy, you know? Once again, I understand that a lot of us in this room, like, we don't get to control a lot of us what time we wake up. A lot of you have a job that you have to be at a certain time. Others of you have kids that have a schedule that you have to meet. Most of us in this room, we probably don't get to control what time we wake up. But a lot of us, if we'd be honest, we do get to control what time we go to sleep at night. Problem is that you're dating Netflix. I'm just minding my business up here. You think about it.
Okay, so he's identified part of the problem, which is you got to sleep.
Mm-hmm.
But maybe you should set your bedtime a little earlier. Is that what I'm getting from this?
Yeah, the importance of having an adult bedtime. Now, I just have to ask the question immediately, what on earth does this have to do with Esther? Is the reason why the Jews were not destroyed in Babylon as a result of this plot against them, and that, you know, Mordecai and Esther, you know, worked so diligently to try to overturn, is the reason why they survived because Esther was just really that good at her time management and made sure that she went to bed at a reasonable time every night so that she woke up refreshed and she was properly budgeting her time in this way. You see, when you ask the question like that, you realize, wait a second, this has nothing to do at all with the book of Esther. And here's the important thing. This is the second sermon in the series that he was preaching on the book of Esther. And we're not learning nothing about Esther and how God delivered the children of Israel, you know, in the time of Esther. We're not learning anything at all. What we're learning, we need an adult bedtime, and maybe we need to turn Netflix off a little earlier.
So far, not impressed. I mean, he's an engaging person, but not particularly impressed. Rich Wilkerson Jr., what's next from him?
All right. So, well, if you've got, 56 hours of sleep, now what's the next category that you probably don't have control over? Here's the next part of it.
Column number two, here we go, is this other column, which is if you're a person in this room that, number one, is obeying the Bible, or number two, is actually trying to be productive in society, you should have a job. I know. Okay. Let me qualify, because that came off that lacked compassion. Okay, the Bible tells us if we don't work, we don't eat. And I actually believe if you're not working, there should be a valid reason that you are disabled, that you are looking for a job. Every one of us in this room, we should work. And so I'm going to put this second category of work. This morning, the 10 a.m. service, everyone knows I'm really bad at spelling. I actually spelled work, W-E-R-K. Work. All right. Holler at your boy. All right. Now, listen. If you're actually working at a place, an organization, a business, a company, that's actually striving not to die, because that's a big thing. Like, for instance, if you worked at Blockbuster, this wouldn't actually, apply to you. They don't exist anymore. Chill out, okay? But listen to me. If you're actually working at a place that's actually trying not to die, I just don't believe that it's just going to be 40 hours. That's kind of like the traditional amount. I just work 40 hours and everything's just okay. Like that's an old paradigm that somebody gave us. Even if you are at a job right now that you're only working 40 hours, that's awesome. That's great. But what about drive time? What about get ready time? What about I should have said it to my boss time? Whatever it is, okay? You're spending more than 40 hours. So I'm just going to make it really simple tonight. I'm just going to put 56 hours towards your job.
Okay, so far all he's done is kind of construct the time chart, right?
Right. In fact, I could have learned this from the folks that put the Franklin Covey day planner together, except for there's not a lot of people who use paper planners anymore, so that's very irrelevant that, referencing the Franklin Covey people, that seems to be falling out of vogue. But the point is, we're not getting anything, again, about Esther. Nor are we getting anything even related to real Christian sanctification. And this is where we need to make an important point. And that is in the seeker-driven way of preaching and their way of understanding the Bible. They are overtly making decisions to deal with the current, the here and the now, and not focus on the eternal at all. And so for them, eternal salvation, once you got that taken care of, you really got to focus in on the kind of a secondary form of salvation, and that is you achieving your purpose. And so I said this, just a few minutes ago, but worth reiterating, that everything here is not that is being spoken about and in their preaching and teaching has nothing to do with actual biblical sanctification, anything about loving your neighbor as defined by the second table of the law, or loving your neighbor, loving God according to the first table of the Ten Commandments. It's really, for them, like the sins that have to be addressed are the sins that are holding you back from personal greatness, from achievement, from notoriety, from celebrity. And so you'll note then that these messages would have an appeal to celebrities who are very, very much focused on their name brand. And their name brand has to do with their image, has to do with their Instagram likes, has to do with their ratings and things like this. And the best in Hollywood, the best celebrities who continue to succeed longer than their 15 minutes of fame are ones who are hardworking and use their time well. So at this point, we're not hearing about thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not murder, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness. Instead, it's thou shalt not squander your time and hold you back from achieving your purpose, which is a different set of law altogether.
Well, and with only about a minute here before we take a break, I'm thinking about the average, let's say Chris Pratt is sitting in this church. Okay, he worked hard and landed himself some roles that launched him to better roles and bigger roles, and then he's in the movies, and then he's Chris Pratt, for heaven's sakes. And now he doesn't need to manage his time because he's got a personal trainer and personal assistants, and he's got a private chef, and he can afford to kind of pay his way out of these sins that the rest of the people, these schmoes sitting there in front of Rich Wilkerson, can't afford to do. They still have to figure out how many hours it takes to do this and that in order to follow the pastor's advice.
Right. And there's another kind of conundrum, and you came really close to getting there, is that what about the person who's like, okay, well, I've applied myself to it. I'm now managing my time really well. I can leave Christianity because I've achieved it. You know, it creates this false impression that if you can somehow properly manage your suburban lifestyle, that you probably don't need Christianity anymore. Christianity was the vehicle to help you get to a more successful life. And once you get there, what do you need Jesus for?
We're talking with Pastor Chris Rosebro, Christianity for Celebrities, during This Week in Pop Christianity. He is pastor of Consfinger Lutheran Church in Oslo, Minnesota, and host of the daily internet talk show called Fighting for the Faith. If you listen regularly to our weekly interviews with Chris, you know that many of the preachers and the teachers in pop Christianity are completely untrained, no formal seminary training, studying the Bible, much less the original languages of the scriptures, the historic creeds, the practices of the church, the history of the church. Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana, forms servants in Jesus Christ who teach the faithful, reach the lost, and care for all. If you've ever considered the vocations of pastor or deaconess, Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana, has a prayerfully consider visit for prospective students March 21st through the 23rd. Learn more at ctsfw.edu or call 1-800-481-2155. Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana. More from Rich Wilkerson Jr. during This Week in Pop Christianity with Chris Rosebro after this. What's the difference between brokenness and repentance? I've written a column in the latest issues, etc. journal titled Personal Brokenness. We'll send it to you for free. Just click the red journal subscription button in the right-hand column at issuesetc.org. In the Wittenberg Trail feature, Dr. Alfonso Espinosa writes about being raised a nominal Roman Catholic and finding the saving gospel in the Lutheran Confession. The free online Issues Etc. journal, issuesetc.org.
Recently graduated from high school or college and looking for a chance to serve a community in need while sharing the good news of Jesus Christ? Lutheran Young Adult Corps may be for you. Lutheran Young Adult Corps provides opportunities for long-term, full-time service for 10 weeks through the summer or 10 months over the school year in places like St. Louis, Philadelphia, and Boston. Find out more about Lutheran Young Adult Corps by finding us online at lcms.org/YACORPS or on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at Lutheran YA Corps.
Christ-centered, cross-focused, you're listening to Issues, Etc.
Risen Savior Lutheran Church, Basser, Kansas. Located just right outside the northwest corner of the metro Kansas City area, we have a growing congregation of people who come from over 13 different communities to see what God is doing here, who desire to only believe, teach, confess, and practice as a church always has. Risen Savior, Basser, Kansas. Check out our website, risensaviorlcms.org.
Listen to chapel services live, weekday mornings from Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana. Morning Chapel from Kramer Chapel. Live, weekday mornings at 9 Central, 10 Eastern, 8 Mountain, and 7 Pacific at issuesetc.org.
To defend the dignity of every person, I am asking Congress to pass legislation to prohibit the late-term abortion of children who can feel pain in a mother's womb.
The picture of the shepherd leading the sheep, right? I mean, that's not at all a look at the sheep saying, look what I'm doing. I'm following my...
It's like, you know, hey, it's the guy that gets us the protection. He's the guy that gets us all of our nourishment. He's the guy that we need to be with to be safe.
And so if we have a universal grace and there is no predestination into damnation, we can cling just to those universal promises that we're given. Just looking to the cross of Christ, knowing that it's given for us.
Do you see how uncomfortable that would make people in the press to have to cover Feminist for Life? There's the gender issue, but now the weapon of gender and feminism is being used by people on the wrong side of the issue.
In about 15 minutes, we'll play Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week. Those four soundbites will be played for you in their entirety. After you've listened, you'll vote by giving us a call, 1-877-623-6943. Going to our Facebook fan page, we've left space for you to vote there, facebook.com/issuesetc. You can vote via Twitter at issuesetc or email talkback@issuesetc.org. It's This Week in Pop Christianity. We're talking about Christianity for Celebrities. Pastor Chris Roseborough is our guest. What's next from Rich Wilkerson?
All right, so we've talked about sleep, we've talked about work. Those are 56 hours for each category that we don't really have a lot of control over. But what if you want to achieve your purpose and live your passion and stuff like that? That's where this next soundbite kind of brings everything full circle and shows you really what the emphasis is of this sermon.
I want to settle you for a moment because not everybody gets to work their dream job, but just because you can't work your dream job doesn't have to stop you from being a person of purpose. Come on. Because listen, there still is another 56 hours left. After you've slept, after you've worked, you still have another whole column that you get to choose and decide what it is that you want to work on. Maybe it's that new business you want to start. Maybe it's spending time with your family. Maybe it's going to church. Hello? Maybe it's going back to school. Holler. Maybe it's starting that new creative project. Maybe it's starting that band you always want to start. I don't know. Maybe it is Netflix. I don't have a problem Netflix as long as you design your time to say, I want to put it into Netflix. Because this third column, it's all about your passion. This third column is, what are you passionate about? You have another 56 hours regardless of where you work. This is the category I want to talk to you about. Because regardless of who you are, after you've slept 56 hours, which most of you are not doing that, after you've worked a job, whether you like it or not, 56 hours, which most of you are not doing that, there still is another 56 hours for you to focus on your passion, for you to put your full heart, for you to put your full focus, for you to give all your attention, for you to say, God, I'm going to make sure that my time is in order, because wherever my time is spent, my life will follow. Timing is everything. Timing is everything.
Okay, I'm going to ask a question you asked before. What does that have to do with Esther?
Nothing. It has absolutely nothing to do with Esther. Read the best commentaries on the book of Esther, and nobody will talk about the importance of time management in this way. Now, there's something I want to point out. In the soundbite, we heard him say, yeah, the things you can't control, sleep and work, and so you just got to have to chalk that up to, I'm not in charge. But those other 56 hours, that's where you get to, quote, be a person of purpose. And you're going to note then that this is an error, a serious error in regard to where our Christian good works are performed and done. And so in this kind of preaching, there is a despising of the ordinary. There is a despising of the everyday 9-to-5 job. If you wake up and you're working as on the cashier line at Chick-fil-A, that is just something you're just supposed to endure and slog through while using your other 56 hours to work on your passion so that you can be a person of purpose. There's where your focus needs to be. Just get through the work day. and then get to the real thing that God has called you to. And that's really the message that we're hearing in here, that you're not really doing good works unless you're applying yourself to what you believe is your God-given unique purpose and the thing that you have a passion for. And so there's a despising and a not even at all recognizing that working as a cashier at Chick-fil-A is a vocation where you get to do good works that are pleasing to God. That's totally off the radar. And so, again, the despising of the common, the ordinary, the 9-to-5, that's, you just have to endure that. And then a focus in on how can I now, you know, once I'm off work, really get busy doing the thing that God has called me to do.
Okay, so I'm kind of trying to apply this to the life of Wilkin. Now, I'm not everybody's in the position I'm in. You know, I'm essentially on the downhill slope of life. So I have the job and then I have the sleep. So those things apply. I try to get as much sleep as I can and I try to work as little as I possibly can. And so those things take up that time. And then I get home and what do I have to do? I eat. I spend some time with my wife. I spend time with my kids and grandkids. There are dishes that have to be washed. For heaven's sakes, I got dogs that need to be walked at least 3 miles a day, but for them to behave, you know, around the family. And by the time all that's done, it's already 9:30. I sit down and have a drink, and the next thing I know, I'm asleep. I am not a person of purpose, according to his definition, because none of those things, even spending time with my grandkids, I love them deeply. I don't think he would classify that as a passion that leads to purpose.
No, it really doesn't. In fact, over and again, the conversations that I have with those who listen to my podcast and have listened to your show, who have come out of churches like this, it is so refreshing and relieving for them to hear what the Bible really teaches regarding good works. In the book of Ephesians, after Paul so wonderfully preaches the gospel in the opening chapters of Ephesians and assures us that salvation is by grace through faith apart from works, and this is a gift of God, he goes on to say that we are created in Christ Jesus for good works which God has prepared ahead of time for us to do or to walk into them. And then in the later part of Ephesians, he lays that out for us, what those good works are as far as where they are performed. And it begins with husbands loving your wives as Christ has loved the church, wives submitting to your husbands, and then you get to children obeying your parents and parents not exasperating their children, and then you get to a unique category, and that unique category is slaves obey your masters. And so, and you'll note that Paul, when he talks about slaves obeying their masters, you know, basically working as unto the Lord, and says that this is pleasing in the sight of Christ. And then, of course, you know, masters not treating their slaves harshly. And so we would kind of modern contextualize that to employee-employer relationships. And you recognize then that our good works that we do, that God has called us to do and to walk in, are done then in our vocations. And what you just described your life being, so you are doing your good works in the vocation of pastor, of radio talk show host and putting out issues, etc. So you're doing good works all around the clock while you're on the clock there at LPR. And then when you get home, loving your wife, communicating to your wife, helping with the dishes, reading stories to your grandchildren, and of course continuing our job as parents with our adult children, these are all good works in God's sight also. So you'll note then when you embrace what Scripture teaches, you don't despise the common and the ordinary. You see it as the very things that you are created in Christ Jesus to do, and you believe by faith what Scripture says about these common ordinary works, that they are pleasing in the sight of Christ, so that by the time you are exhausted and you have a drink and fall asleep and start it all over again, you have been poured out like a drink offering yourself. Your whole life has been the entire day. And then while you're asleep, Christ fills you back up again so that you can pour yourself out for your neighbor in all of your different vocations. I'd like to say a rinse, wash, and then repeat. And so you'll note that what the scriptures teach about this doesn't have you chasing some weird, vague purpose in applying yourself and despising what you're doing, but instead embracing what you're doing and recognizing in all these ways you are doing the good works that Christ has called you to.
So what's the danger, with about a minute here, the danger of this kind of, it's still purpose-driven stuff. It's funny to think that, you know, almost two decades later, it's still purpose-driven stuff, just packaged in a different form. What's the danger of this?
The dangers are multifold. Number one, you don't understand, you have no real preaching of law and gospel. As a result of that, you really do not understand the danger you're in because of your sin. And Christ isn't properly placarded for the forgiveness of your sins. Christ gets to become like a life coach. But on the other end of it is that you're not being, there's no real exhortation to the real good works that Christ has called us to. And you'll note then that the emphasis on you trying to attain your purpose has as its major pitfall is that the emphasis is on you, not on meeting your neighbor's needs and loving your neighbor as yourself. It is instead on chasing this success and achievement, which really plays into our inherent narcissism that we have inherited from Adam, and which the devil taught us. And so as a result of it, you don't get long gospel correct, and then you have a counterfeit form of sanctification that, rather than mortifies your sinful flesh, literally takes your sinful flesh and just feeds it to the point where it becomes a narcissistic monster.
What are you going to be fighting for and against on Fighting for the Faith tonight?
We're going to be talking about Cheon and his recent book, Modern Day Apostles, and his claims that the God has restored apostles to the earth today, and its relation to the claims that the NAR doesn't exist.
You can listen to Fighting for the Faith in about a half hour at 5 Central at PirateChristian.com. Pastor Chris Roseborough is pastor of Consfinger Lutheran Church in Oslo, Minnesota, and host of the daily internet talk show called Fighting for the Faith. Chris, thank you very much.
Thank you, Todd.
Here's what the 16th century reformer Martin Luther had to say about that first book of the Bible, the book of Genesis. He says, Genesis is made up almost entirely of illustrations of faith and unbelief, and of the fruits of faith and the fruits that faith and unbelief bear. It's an exceedingly evangelical book, says Luther, and you can get the fruit of that kind of scholarship and understanding of Luther in his latter years as he contemplated Genesis in the Issues, Etc., Book of the Month for February, Day by Day in Genesis, 365 devotional readings from Martin Luther. It's at our website, issuesetc.org. on every page, or call Concordia Publishing House and ask for Day by Day in Genesis, 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040. When we come back, it's time to play Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week. We have four soundbites to play for you, and after you've heard them, your vote is going to decide which will be Soundbite of the Week, and we'll give away the LPL bundle package to the listener with the best vote for Soundbite of the Week.
Remember when education was about the fundamental skills of reading, writing, and arithmetic? And about reading great literature and studying history to give our kids a model for what it is to be a good person? Memoria Press's classical Christian curriculum offers that very model for your homeschool. Get $5 off your next order by using the coupon code LPR9. For more information, go to memoriapress.com. Memoria Press. Saving Western civilization one student at a time.
Lutheran Federal Credit Union was formed to serve you and to serve the church. During February, when you open a Lutheran FCU loan to meet your financial needs, or when you use your Lutheran FCU credit card for a qualifying amount of purchases, Lutheran FCU will give you cash back and give that same amount of money to their Ministry of the Month, Perry Lutheran Homes. Learn more at LutheranFCU.org. Lutheran FCU, good for you, good for the church. LutheranFCU.org.
Are you looking for a new devotional resource in 2019? The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for February is Day by Day in Genesis, 365 Devotional Readings by Martin Luther. Browse before you buy at issuesetc.org or call Concordia Publishing House, 1-800-325-3040. The Issues Etc. Book of the Month, Day by Day in Genesis, 365 Devotional Readings by Martin Luther.
Visiting Concordia University Chicago is a great way to open up your world. Tour our beautiful 40-acre campus, hear from current students about why they chose Concordia Chicago, discover more than 70 degree programs, and learn about financial aid and generous scholarship opportunities. Attend our February 18th visit day for high school and transfer students. Register today at cuchicago.edu/visit.
It's not about you. It's about Jesus for you. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues Etc. 300. St. Paul Lutheran, Coleman, Alabama. Christ the King Lutheran, Redlands, California. Good Shepherd Lutheran, Collinsville, Illinois. Redeemer Lutheran, Marshalltown, Iowa. Trinity Lutheran, Wichita, Kansas. Lord of Life Lutheran, Chesterfield, Missouri. Faith Lutheran, Rogue River, Oregon. Bethlehem Lutheran, North Zulch, Texas. Our Redeemer Lutheran, Lexington, Kentucky. Trinity Lutheran, Springfield, Illinois. Redford Lutheran, Detroit, Michigan. And Good Shepherd Lutheran, Arnold, Missouri. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Just go to issuesetc.org, click support, and print a one-page flyer. When your congregation joins the Issues Etc. 300, we'll publicize your church on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues Etc. journal.